Okay, so that's the last line, and the last thing that we were talking about was this machlokas between Rav on the one hand and Rabbi Yochanan on the other hand, about whether Rabbi Shimon, when he was matir carrying from every single type of rishus that is a semi rishus hayochid because of the rabbonan to any other, was he even referring to a case of carrying from a chotzer that had an Eruv and therefore would be a wash in various kelim that had been in the bayit. The problem is that, of course, the heter is only to carry things that were in the chotzer, to carry it into a gog and then from there to the karfaf and the mavui and so on. But you can't carry anything from the bayit into any of these places. And the question is, Rav claimed that there was a gezeira, and that we would have to be machmir, that even if there was just an Erev that would allow bringing things into that chatzar, we need to worry that somebody may pick up one of those things that were in the house without paying much attention and carry it into another chatzar, into a gag or karfaf and so on. It's like Rabbi Shimon is matir. And therefore, the must be that the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, but not in a case where there was an Erev in the chatzar. If there's an Erev in the chatzar, we have to be machmir, because of the Mane Debatim. So today we want to know, Omar le Ravino le Ravashi, did Rabbi Yochanan really say that he disagrees with that? Umi Omar Rabbi Yochanan Hochi, you're telling me that Rabbi Yochanan said that Rabbi Shimon he's matir, even if there are Bani Debatim in the Chotzer, even if there's an Erev, and as we saw, Rabbi Shimon himself doesn't really hold much of that kind of Gezerah, because remember in the overlapping cases of Chatzar A, B, and C, he wasn't afraid somebody's going to bring from Kalim of C into A through B. Same exact situation over here. And therefore, Tanya's Rabbi Yochanan, it should be directly mutter to carry. As obviously, you can't carry something that you know is in the house, but as long as you're careful, what's the problem? You can carry from one chotzer to any of the other rishuyos, like Rabbi Shimon says, into a mavoi, into a garfaf, whatever you want. How did Rabbi Yochanan say that, though? Because the problem is, Rabbi Yochanan, remember, always holds that the halacha is like a stam mishnah. And the case in the stam mishnah we had earlier was that if you've got a wall between two chatzeros, and that wall is 10 tvachim high, 4 tvachim wide, then the first thing we learned was that's obvious. If there's no door, then these two chatzeros cannot make an eruv together. Okay, obviously. But what interests us over here is that if there was food on top of that chutz, let's get some nice peaches up there on top, people can climb up, sit on top of the wall, and eat as long as they don't go down. And what do you mean as long as they don't go down? Why can't they go down? It should be okay to go down. Must be because, basically, since these two chatzeros don't have an Erev between them, you're not allowed to carry from one chotzer to the other. Now, how can you say that you're not allowed to carry from one chotzer to the other if Rabbi Shimon says you're always allowed to carry from one chotzer to the other, and Rabbi Yochanan Paskin like Rabbi Shimon? Now, I mean, if you're going to tell me, obviously, that, look, I mean, Rabbi Shimon agrees, as Rav claims, that if there was an Erev in one of them, so then you can't carry. Okay, then I could say that's what the Mishnah is talking about, as long as you bring it down, because in that case, even Rabbi Shimon agrees you can't carry from one chutzah to the other. But now you're telling me Rabbi Yochanan says that there's no case that Rabbi Shimon would say that about. Rabbi Shimon doesn't care if you make an error. So how do you understand the Mishnah? Then the Mishnah is telling me that Rabbi Yochanan is wrong to say that the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. And says Ravashi, where does it say in this Mishnah that when you can't take it off the wall down to the bottom, it means down to the bottom in the chutz, or maybe down to the bottom means as long as you don't bring it down to the house. And not bring it up means as long as you bring it up from the house. That's what it means. I don't see that this means that necessarily you can't bring it into the chutz, sir. Wait a second. It says, Ravina, what about the Braita that explains the Mishnah? And over there, Rabbi Chiya writes in the Braita, Bilvad shelo yezeh omed b'mekomo ve'ochel v'zeh omed b'mekomo ve'ochel. As long as one guy doesn't eat down at the bottom, and the other guy doesn't eat down at the bottom. In other words, you can only eat if you're sitting there on top of the wall, and then you can bite on those peaches. So in other words, apparently, we don't allow you to stand in the chutzner and utilize the other rishos. Why? obviously, because you can't carry from one chutzer to another chutzer. And I thought, if according to Rabbi Yochanan, we paskin like Rabbi Shimon, you can always carry from one chutzer to the other chutzer, then where is the case that this would be applicable? Even if there were an Erev in the chutzeres, it would still not make any sense according to Rabbi Yochanan. Omar Lay says, Rav Ashi, look, when you asked me the Mishnah, I told you, it doesn't say in this Mishnah where to take it down, okay? You could mean taking it down to the house. So now you're coming along and you're saying, well, that's not what Rabbi Chiya said. Rabbi Chiya, he said, when he explained the Mishnah, he said it's talking about that you brought it down to the chutzner. Let me ask you something, my friend. Rabbi Chiya is a Talmud of Rabbi? Yes. The brises that Rabbi Chiya writes are supposed to be amplifications of the Mishnahs, but they're not supposed to be additions to the Mishnah, correct? Now, if Rabbi, remember that one of the big secrets of how it is that you have to write Torah Shebal Peh is that you need to leave open the possible cases so that they could work out in a multiplicity of ways, correct? Now, Rabbi left the Mishnah open to an interpretation that I just gave you. In which case it would have worked out a little bit of Rabbi Shimon, even the way Rabbi Yochanan is learning, namely, that when it says don't take it down, it means don't take it down to the house. Now you're coming along, and all of a sudden, Rabbi Chiya in the Braita insists on limiting the Mishnah, and he wants to say, no, it can only work if we're talking about not taking it down to the chutzner. I beg your pardon, that's none of his business. If Rebbe didn't write that in the Mishnah, and Rebbe went out of his way to leave the Mishnah open to multiple interpretations, you tell me where Rabbi Chiya has the right to start defining things. And this is a beautiful klal. V'chi Rebbe lo shina'a, Rabbi Chiya minayin lo. If it's not what Rebbe put in the Mishnah, where the heck does Rabbi Chiya come off introducing new issues that Rebbe didn't write? That's a beautiful insight into the relationship between the Mishnayos and the Braises. They're only meant to amplify the possibilities of the Mishnah, not meant to limit the very careful expansion of possibilities that Rebbe put into a Mishnah. Beautiful. Okay, anyway, now getting back to what we spoke about before, according to Rav, it appears to be that wherever there is an Erev in the Chatzar, there's a problem of carrying from one rishus to another. Why? We're worried about the objects from the house that might still be in the chutzner you're going to carry out, right? How about if we're not talking about chutzner to chutzner directly? We're talking about two chutzneres with a churva between them. Now, on one side, and this churva is open to the two chutzneres. Now, on one side, the chutzner has an eruv in the chutzner, and on the other side, the chutzner does not have an eruv. So in that case, Rav Huna said, who was a Talmud of Rav, Rav Huna said, look, we give that churva to the chutzner that does not have an eruv. Why? Because the chutzner that doesn't have an eruv is not going to have mane debatim in the chutzner. But the chutzner that does have the eruv is a problem chutzner, and therefore we want to keep them out of there. And this, because they will have money to batim in the chutzner. And this basically means that this is another classic case of where things work out for one rishus and don't work out for the other. We give it to the one for whom it works out instead of just answering it on both of them. So that's what we do over here. We say to the chutzner with the air of you guys keep out of this area. You can't go in there with anything at all, because you might accidentally bring in stuff from your house, and then the other people will end up using it, not taking it into their chutzner, not realizing that that wasn't meant to be there because it was in the house. And therefore, we give it to the ones who don't have the Erev because they can't bring anything from their house there. For Chiya Bar Rav, now Chiya Bar Rav said that his father said, my father disagreed with you, and my father said, even to the chutzner that does have an Erev. Now, what I understand that to mean is that that means that what my father was saying is both chatzeros are usser. In other words, they're both the same is what he's really saying. They're both the same le'isser. Because you're going to tell me, no, maybe it means both are the same for heter. And I'm going to show you why my father couldn't have meant that. Because if you're going to tell me that, So then why did my father say before that mipnei ma ein notnin chatzer shelo irva l'chatzer shekein irva? Remember that we said before that you're not allowed to carry, according to Rab, between two chatzeros, where you have one of those chatzeros that made an erev, right? Because it may have money debatim. Now, let me ask you something. I understand in one direction why you can't do that, but why can't you do it in the other direction? In other words, the chatzer that does not have an erev, right? Why can't they carry in to the ones that do have an erev? Because their stuff is not going to be from the house, and there's no problem. So all of a sudden, you're telling me that Rav said there's blanket issur if they have an erev, either of them have an erev, one for the other. Then how do you explain that? And therefore, it must be that what we assume is that once you allow a mixing, then if these people from the one that don't have an erev are going to be walking into the other chatzer, and there's going to be stuff in the other chatzer that is part of the things that were in the house, that they're going to end up carrying that also. So in other words, the problem is always multidirectional, what Rav is saying. And then even the people who don't have a problem of money to batim, we're going to aser them because they may come to carry things that would have the money to batim, right? So lechora, that should be exactly the same case over here. And we should aser, if he's telling me he wouldn't have allowed one and not the other. So even if we're going to say, this is how Rashi explains it. The Tosfos says this is a very nice explanation. Even if you wanted to tell me that Rav would be mater in that case to carry from the one without an Erev into the one that is an Erev, he certainly was not mater carrying from the one that does have the Erev into the other one. So if that would be the case, he couldn't possibly have said that, no, he means they're both okay. They're not both okay. So if he said they're both the same, he must have meant they're both not okay. That's what I think the pshat is, says Chiya Barav, even though my dad was not very careful. I didn't explain it, but it's clear to me that's what he means. Says the Gemara, no, there's no real proof from what you're saying. Because let's think about what the problem is. The problem is that if we're going to allow it in one direction, so then the other people are going to end up carrying things that might have come from the batim, right? That's what you're saying. And it should be the same thing in the chatzer. So then we're going to end up, the people will be carrying, if you're saying they can both, they're both the same and they're both mutter because they're carrying into the churva. So you're saying that, well, it's the same problem. If you're going to allow them to carry into the churva, then the people from the side that you wanted to be matir because of the fact that they did not have an Erev, but what's to prevent them from carrying the things that the people brought into the churva from the other side? So I can't do that, right? Not the same. Very simple. Why it's not the same? I'll explain to you why it's not the same. If you're talking about a direct chutzer to chutzer transplant, and you're talking about something that was in chutzer A's house, and since they have an Erev, it was brought out to chutzer A, and if we're going to allow chutzer B to carry there, they may end up carrying out things that were in the house. Well, of course, nobody hesitates to bring out things from the house into their own chutzer, right? Nobody's going to walk off with their stuff. People always put their things in the chutzer because people don't walk in freely to your chutzer and walk off with it. Masha Einkein, if you're talking about over here that we're going to allow you to carry from chutzer to churva, glibe to Rebbe Shimon, exactly what are you going to bring out into the churva to leave there? Because the churva is not protected. People will walk off with your stuff, okay? And therefore, we do not have a chashash. It's possible that that's what Rav meant. That since we're talking about a churva over here, even if we allow both of them to carry into the churva, the likelihood of there being anything from the house that somebody would leave over in the churva and therefore would come to be carried into the chatzar on the other side is minimal. Because people don't want to bring anything from their house into a churva and leave it there. Therefore, Kivan Demantri is different. In the case over there between two chatzeros directly, Kivan Demantri, money to batim b'chatzer ati lafuke. Because whatever I bring out from the house is watched and is therefore secure in the chatzer, I may bring out tons of stuff. It's not only me, remember. I mean, there's 20 houses over here. They're all bringing out into the commons area. Nobody has any hesitation bringing out their kids' toys or whatever it is into the because nobody's going to steal them. Mashenka, when you're talking about a churva, In the case of the churva, people are hesitant to leave anything out there. So they're not going to bring anything there, and therefore, lo ati lafuke. So what are we worried about? That the people in the other chutz are going to walk into the churva and going to take the stuff from the churva. What stuff from the churva? Stuff that anyway is left in the churva. The kind of stuff that nobody cared about leaving in the churva. Okay, fine. That was there before Shabbos anyway. And Rabbi Shimon says you're always allowed to carry anything that was out there before Shabbos, correct? So what's your worry? That someone will bring out some of the toys from inside the house? No, they won't. Because they do not feel secure with the toys in the churva. So maybe you're wrong. Maybe your father was indeed matir in this case. In fact, there's the opposite version of the whole discussion in which Chiya Barav actually said that. And that in that version, Chiya Barav said that when my father was quoted as saying, we even give it to the Irva, he meant both of them are mutter. Now, I know what you're going to ask me. You're going to say, what do you mean? How could they both be mutter? So then how come my father said in the other case that you're not allowed to carry from either Chatzeris into the other? Lefisha ein notnim Chatzer shelo Irva lechatzer she'irva. He must mean they're both aser. No, in this version, he himself tells us what we told him in the first version. No, I think that he really means in this case that it's different if you bring stuff into a churva than if you have a direct transfer from a chatzar to a chatzar. Because, again, given the mandi debati b'chatzar, if you're talking about things in the house that you take out, you'll only take it out to your chatzar because you feel secure. But you will not take out things from your house and leave it in the churva. And therefore, I believe that when my father said give it to both of them, he meant give it to both of them beheter, which is the simple meaning of his words. And the logic of it is that there's very little chance that anybody's going to carry something that had come out from the bayit and found it in the churva. It wouldn't have been in the churva. And now we are ready for Sir Richard, which also gives us an opportunity to actually see La Capitan. Thank you, Capitan. So, we are finally at this Mishnah that we've discussed. Wow, have we discussed. I mean, we've discussed it in so many guises. Yeah, the most recent guys was the little roof next to the big roof, remember? But this was a sugya. Oh, man. It was a sugya that comes up all the time. It comes up in yeshivas. It comes up in shuls. The question of what part of the minyan can be mitzaref if they're in the women's section. Is the women's section part of the big section? It all was part of the sugya that we had before, which started with the question of nirin mibachutz v'shava mibifnim. So you remember that question, is it considered to be a mechitza if from the inside we had this benogei of the mavoi? The inside you can't see anything. It looks like everything is exactly the same, but when you're walking along the outside of the wall, there you can see a little piece that's sticking out, but it's even from the inside. It looks like an extension of the wall. That was the first time that we met up with the sugya. And the last time, as I said, was just the case we had recently about the small roof next to the big roof. And it all comes down to the same issue, which is in the event that you have a mechitza that is notable from the outside, we call that gifufi. So let's say you have in your large chotzer, you have the side walls, and then it continues on into a smaller chotzer, right? If from the inside of the smaller chutzner, when you're at the end, the far end in the inside of the small chutzner, you're looking straight out, you do not see any mechitzas whatsoever between yourselves and the people in the next chutzner. But when you're standing in the large chutzner and you're looking towards the small chutzner, you see very clearly that that's a separate chutzner because on either side, you've got a little piece of wall and then it continues going on away from you. So obviously that's a different room, a smaller chutzner, and you know that you are separated from that chutzner. So the question was whether that mechitza works in both directions or only works in the direction from which it was visible. That was the original question. Now, initially, we ended up with saying that it's possible to create a situation in which we would not say, according to anybody, that a mechitza that is nira mibachutz and shava mibifnim would work for both sides. And where was that? That was where we had the inside, the mechitzas of the smaller room do not end at the edge of the big room. They continue to stick out. In which case, we cannot say that the mechitzas on either. Does anybody have a picture? I mean, it's pretty obvious, but if anybody's got a picture, I'd appreciate it. That's the roof one. How about the chutzner? Anybody got a picture from the point of the chutzner that sticks out? I can't make out. Is the inside wall sticking out into the big one? Yeah. Okay. Fine. So then that's the case. So then if you have the mechitzas that are actually sticking out a little bit, they don't just end, they jut in, then we don't get into the problem, you see. Because if they jut in, then the mechitzas on either side have nothing to do with them at all. I mean, they don't even come up to their room in any way that would separate their room from their perspective. It only is very clear from the outside perspective in the large chutzner. Therefore, Tosfos says, in order to avoid the whole question about whether the mechitzas work if they're near a bimbifanim and so on, let us assume that what we're talking about over here is where the mechitzas jut out. Okay, so the mechitzas jut out, then we don't have to worry about this. Okay, whatever the case is. So now we have a large roof that is next to a small roof. And there is, in this case, there is no mechitza. They don't have an eruv. The deal is that hagadol mutar vehakatan asur. Now, when we say gadol mutar and asur, the way that Rashi understands the situation over here is that we are not talking about the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and if there's different people that own it, with the Chachamim, and that according to Rabbi Meir, it's all one big reshus. That is not the point. Because even Rabbi Meir was only talking about, again, Rabbi Meir, when it comes to different roofs, is the equivalent of Rabbi Shimon when it comes to different chatzeras, correct? And he was only talking about your right to carry kelim that were on the roof into any other roof. Yes, that's true. So to avoid that machlokas, Rashi says, that's not what we're talking about over here. What we're talking about is, can you bring the things from your house upstairs to your roof? That's the question. And the issue over there would be that since we have this, the entire room is open to the large one, so then it would aser be on it, the big roof would aser on it, because it's completely porutz to the big roof. But the people on the big roof are not porutz to the people on the small roof, and therefore they have no problem carrying out from their house upstairs to their big roof. So in which case, the gadol is mutter to carry up, and the katan is osur to carry up. Now, the same thing would be true in a chotzer, where you have, forget about the roof, and the Gemara is going to ask, I mean, is it the same thing, basically? Chotzer, gag, what's the difference? In the chotzer, we have the same situation. You have the chotzer gedola, shenifrit saliktana. It's the same idea. The halacha over there is that you, here we're talking, of course, bringing the things out from the house. So the gedola would be muteret. You could bring out your things from your home because the people in the smaller chutzner who don't have an eruv with you, there's a mechitza between you. And well, what about the opening? The opening is 10 amas or less. So it's just a petach. You're not mechuyev to make a eruv with somebody that's got a petach with you, remember. It's up to you. If you want to carry your stuff from the house into the other chutzner, you can if you make an eruv, but you certainly don't have to make the eruv. So over here, where you didn't make the eruv, you're just bringing out from your front door into your front yard. And the fact that there's another yard that's open into it is irrelevant. Daniil just uploaded a picture. Let's take a look at that and see if it's a nicer picture. Right. Okay. So the picture as given here is not the way that Tosfos would have it. And that's because it does not jut out into the other one. It's the straight out question of Nira Mibifnim. Nira Mibachutz, but Shava Mibifnim. But you get the idea. Okay, so in any event, the first thing that we want to know is what is the point of saying two cases that are exactly the same? Does it really matter whether it's on top of a roof or it's down on the ground? Isn't it the same thing? So lomali lamit ne tarte. Ah, ha, 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 ha. Because now we're getting into the issue of what the din is of mechitzot she'ena nikarot. That's the point. So according to Rav, remember, Rav Shita is that you never say God asik b'chitzata if they're hidden by the roof. They would have to come up to the edge of the roof. So according to Rav, since he doesn't hold of good asik unless it's visible, the reason that the Tana says it's the case specifically of the chatzar is to make it clear that the gag has to be similar to the chatzar in that the mechitzot are not hidden by the roof. And just like the chatzar is minkara mechitzata, the only time that we're allowing you to carry there is in the event that the gag is minkara mechitzata and that it's obvious to you when you're on the roof that the edge of the roof is a continuation of walls that extend around the building. Now, that would mean that if the roof somehow extends over the edge with eaves or whatever, then Rav would say you can't carry in any of these because then there is no separation between the gag of the katan and the gag of the gadol, and therefore you are basically porutz into this other rishus. According to Shmuel, now remember, Shmuel says, I don't care whether you could see the mechitzas or not through the roof. The din is always good asik mechitzata. So then, wait a second over here. If he holds that, then there's a serious problem with the actual din, no? I mean, according to Shmuel, obviously there's a wall between, I mean, it's inside the house, but there's a wall between the two living units, one of which has the small roof and one of which has the big roof. So then according to Shmuel, you should be able to carry either into the big one or the small one. They're both completely separated from each other, not just with kifufi. They are separated with a full wall. We know the answer to that because we spoke about it earlier. And what was that? That they are called mechitzot hanidrasot. And that whenever you have a force field where people are simply walking through it, then the force field is canceled. So in this case, where you have the extension of the virtual wall with good asik b'chitzata, if you're talking about a trafficked area, you cannot have a virtual wall with people walking through it. Okay, so then according to Shmuel, the point over here would be exactly the opposite. The reason that the Mishnah teaches two cases, one of which is a chatzar, one of which is a gag, is to tell me that in this case, the only time that the halacha is applicable as written in the Mishnah is if the gag is similar to a chatzar. In what sense? In the sense that there's a lot of traffic. People are always walking through the chatzar. People aren't always walking through the gag. So you want to know that we're talking about the kind of gag where kids are always playing ball and stuff like that. So just like a chatzar de kadar sile rabin, in this particular case in the Mishnah, we're talking about a gag de kadar sile rabin, and a lot of people are walking across this roof, and that is the reason, the only reason, why there's a problem of the chatzar hakatan, or the gag hakatan, being porutz to the gadol, and that's because we canceled the good asik force field because we've got too much traffic. Okay, now, what we said about the small chotzer. In the look at the lashon of the Mishnah, it's a very strange lashon. We call the chotzer, the small chotzer, is the Pesach of the larger chotzer. Okay, we said ktana asura mipnei shehi kipitcha shel gedola. What is the ramifications legally of being a petach? I mean, why particularly call it a petach if you just want to say that it is subsumed by? Is there something meaningful about it? So Rabba, Rabbi Zeira, Rabba Baruch Hanan, we're all sitting around discussing this Mishnah. Abaya was standing, was sitting over there near them. And they were saying that, you know, you can see a very important idea from this Mishnah. Shema minami matnitin, utilizing these special words of kipitcha shel gedola, has some very important limudim. And apparently what it means is that diore gedola biktana. So then that means the dinim of the people in the large chatzar are going to subsume the small chatzar. And they get into biktana. They get into that small chatzar because we're calling that small chatzar their personal entrance as if it's part of their rishos, but it isn't part of their rishos. Yet we're saying that they, that means it's subordinate to them. And vice versa, it's not. People that live in the small chotzer do not have any sense of living in the big ones, and they can't make the big one part of the small one, but the big one can make the small one part of the big one. Now look at some of the ramifications of this, and you'll see how it extends across so many different sugyas. So for instance, if you want to talk about the problem of kaloya kerem, okay, let's imagine that you've got vines that are growing in the large chutzner. So then I don't care where it is that you want to plant your little veggies in the small chutzner, you can't plant anything in that small chutzner at all. Because even though normally you'd be allowed to plant at a distance of 4 amos away from the kramim, in this case, you can't. Because, or if it's not in a real kerem, which is shnayim kenegedah, you'll remember from whatever it is, there's an individual kerem, it doesn't have the din of a kerem, you would only have to make 6 tefachim difference. But since it uses the lashon of kepischa shel gedola, it seems to be saying you cannot plant anywhere in the ketana, no matter how far away they are, because then you would be planting in the middle of the gedola, and you can't do that. So that means that the entire area, I don't care if it's far away, the entire area of the ketana is part of the gedola. And anywhere in that chatzar, you would be kelayim. Amazing chiddush. Now, there's one very important caveat to this. And that is that if the petach itself, the physical petach, is more than 4 amos away from the actual vines, it doesn't make sense to say that, because then you'd even be allowed to plant in the large chutzner, so you'd be allowed to plant vegetables, right? Because it's far enough away. So you can't say all of a sudden, if you walk another foot, now it becomes usher, because now you're in this defined petach. If the petach is usher in the gedola, so then we're saying that the entire petach extends into ketana. That's how many of the Rishonim learned, and that Rashi did not mean to say that it doesn't matter how far away you are. Okay, so because of that, gifanim begedola asur lizroa taktana, and if you actually went ahead and you planted, it would be usur because of kiloya karen, but it would be usur only from the point of view of the zraim, because the zraim, from their point of view, are in the gedola, but remarkably, from the point of view of the gifanim, who live comfortably in the gedola, they say, what Zroim? What are you talking about? I don't see any Zroim. What do you mean? You don't see any Zroim right over there? Well, that's in another chutzner. There's a mechitza. Don't you see the gifufi? You can't ask for something on the other side of a fence. This is on the other side of the fence. So when the Mishnah says this, it's saying that there is a relative rishus, which is different in one direction than the other direction, which is astonishing. So the gifanim become mutter. Or remain mutter, as far as they're concerned. On the other hand, if the gifanim are in the small chutzner, then you can put whatever you want into the large chutzner, because you can plant over there, and people will say, but how can you plant in here? There's a bunch of gifanim. Where's a bunch of gifanim? On the other side of a wall? What is that my business on? That's one explanation, one example. Another example, you're trying to give a divorce to a woman. Now, the halacha is, if you follow the shita that holds that it's only if the woman is in the chutzner that she owns, and it's a chutzner mishtamerit at that point, that she's able to be kain of the get. So then let's say she owns this double configuration over here, and she, the woman, is standing in the large chutzner, and her husband throws the get into the small chutzner, so then that would be a kosher get, because it means that the get is now subsumed by the rishus of the woman in the big chutzner. But if the woman is in the small chutzner and the get's in the big chutzner, then since where she is not considered to be being shaylate over the gedola, so then she didn't get the get, even though it's in her chutzner, but it's not in her chutzner, that's mishtameres with her presence. Let me give you another example. You're in shul, okay? And the question is, can the shliach tzibur say kaddish? Now, do you have a minion or not? So let's imagine, if you've got a tzibur in the larger chutzner, and the shliach tzibur himself, he's standing in the small chutzner, that's fine, because they are able to drag the shliach tzibur into their rishus, because he's viewed as being part of them, and he's saying the tefillah is for them. Okay. But if it's the other way around, but then they would be yotzi in dechovatam. But if it's the other way around, let's say that the tzibur is in the small chatzar and the shliach tzibur is by himself in the big chatzar, so then they cannot be yotzi, because we can't look at it as if the shliach tzibur is being shalate over them. That's not the point. We're not going to bring that individual and say he drags everybody into his thing, because from the point of view of the rov is in the wrong room, and the shliach tzibur is not in the same room with him. Now, this is not nogea, a case where the shliach tzibur has a minion with him. That's a different thing. If the shliach tzibur has a minion with him, then it's possible to be yotze, even when you're just hearing over. You can even be yotze shliach tzibur things if you're outside and you're listening through the window, as long as he's got the minion. That's fine. Another one would be a question, if you don't have a full tzibur in one of the locations, let's say you have 9 people in the big room and you have 1 person in the small room, so then that would mean that you could be mitzaref the person in the small room, because they can be sholeit over him and they can drag him into the large room. But if you have a tisha b'ktana ve'achad b'gdola, then they would not be mitzaref, because again, you have to look at it from, as we said, everything is relative. Over here, it's relative to the way that you would look at it from the point of view of the rov. Okay, I remember that there's also the kula, which we've been utilizing, which is the maril, that you're allowed to, if you have visual contact, so then you're also able to be yotze in that case and combine. Okay, I'll give you another example. Suppose you want to say Kriyat Shema, and there is Tso'ah B'gdola. You're not allowed to read Kriyat Shema in a room where there is Tso'ah. And over here, you've got Tso'ah B'gdola, then you cannot read Kriyat Shema, in that case, in the small room. Because basically, if you're in the small room, you're still in the presence of the problem being the Tso'ah, which is now sholeit. That problem is sholeit over your room. If you have tso'a biktana, then mutar lekrot kriyat shema bigdola, because there's a wall between you, and there's not, obviously, assuming there's no odor. Okay, anyway, this was what they were talking about. They came up with all of these great examples, and Abaya was listening, and Abaya wasn't sure that they were right about the Kelayim business, and Abaya said to them, that's weird, because if that's the case, then it turns out that you made a mechitza to create isurim. And normally, a mechitza is made in such a way that it reduces isurim. But think about this case. If there wouldn't have been any mechitza between these two chatzeras, right? So let's say you didn't have the gifufe from the large chatzer. So then what would have been in the kilayim? 4 amas. You stay away 4 amas, and then you can plant. Now, does it make sense to you that because I add mechitzas, that now I'm closer? This makes sense to you? I mean, it sounds crazy. Without mechitzas at all, you'd be allowed to be marking 4 amas from the vines and start planting. But since it happens to be that I have these mechitzas on either side, now even something 20 feet away is magically brought into this chatzar because of the addition of mechitzas. That's insane. I don't understand how that works. Vilo hashta asura. Amalei Rabbi Zera, hold on, buddy. This is not the first time you've seen this. Velo matzino mechitza l'isur. It's nothing unusual to have a mechitza creating an isur. Because look at the Mishnah, okay? The Mishnah talks about a chatzah gedola shenivritza l'ktana. Then you're allowed to carry in the gedola from your house, and the ktana you're not allowed to. Why? Because it's considered to be the pitcha shel gedola. All right, so now let me ask you something. Suppose you built a wall, right? And this wall was now mashva the gedudim. So then, if you would build that wall all along the side, you would make them even. In other words, the extra space in the big chatzar, you basically erased by building a mechitza that made it seem from the inside that there is no gifufe. Now it's all one big hall. Okay, what would be the din then? That both of them would be usher. Oh, how could you make both of them usher by building a mechitza? You're making them more mutter because you built a mechitza. Ah, oh, come on, said Abaya. That is pure sophistry. Over there, you didn't build a mechitza. You erased a mechitza by adding the stones on the outside, which took away the relevant mechitza. That's not fair. I'm sorry. I'm talking about where you have a mechitza that is adding a mechitza, not erasing a mechitza. Come off it, man. So how do you explain the fact that in this case, because I have this extra gifufe, now I have to be more marchik? It's a brilliant question. How can a mechitza make things more connected than not having the mechitza between them?